But we all have coffee, I'm sure, time to do these things, to sit down to share a meal. Practical things that we can do as apprentices, that we watched Jesus did these things, right? And the third thing was that he had a global vision. Now, I'm not talking he just, you know, could stand back and look at the globe and say, look, I have a global vision. But he had a passion for things that were happening beyond the scope of his reach. And for us, that's a tricky thing. That's a difficult thing because the beyond the scope of my reach is also beyond the scope of my ability. But it is not beyond the scope of need for me to still be involved. And so I can pack shoeboxes, or I can pray for a missionary, or I can do a short-term thing, or I can figure out how am I going to get a bunch of Bibles into a prison in a country that I never, ever want to visit again. I remember I shared the story of my friend from Russell who should never, ever go on a short-term missions trip, but came back from that prison broken and wrecked for those men who were learning about God and they didn't have Bibles. And he sent the best Bibles he could down there. Because he was wrecked. He had a global vision. That's what Jesus modeled. Last week we took a look at another aspect of an apprentice. An apprentice is someone who asks questions, right? You don't just sit in silence while the master does the work and say, okay, I'm going to do it exactly like that and go here. Because eventually something happens that you don't understand or can't see. And so you have to ask the question, hang on, why did you do it that way? And frequently I would ask those questions of people. Why did you do it that way? Because it doesn't seem to make sense. And if I'm going to learn the trade or learn the skill or learn the craft, I need to understand why it is. And so we looked at speaking, actually dialoguing, having conversation with Jesus. And the first thing we looked at that was, you know what? Jesus has a voice. Seems kind of obvious, but it really isn't, because I asked the question, how many of you have heard Jesus' voice? And not very many put their hands up. And that's okay. That's no judgment or anything like that. But I wanted to share that and say, Jesus has a voice. We as Christians know his voice. We looked at that. Jesus is the good shepherd. He says the shepherd calls out to his sheep and his sheep hear his voice and know his voice and follow him. And when a stranger comes in and says, hey, come on, little sheep, come on over here. They say, I don't know that voice. And I go the opposite direction. I run away and run towards the voice that is familiar, which is Jesus' voice, right? And then the second thing we talked about, that Jesus, God, does in fact speak today. There's a lot of people who would argue that God only spoke in the Old Testament time to the prophets and to guys like Moses and Abraham and those guys. And God doesn't speak to anybody today. And I said, that's not true. God is speaking all the time today. We just need to stop and listen. We need to make space. We need to, when we come before God and say, all right, God, here's my laundry list of things that I need you to do. Can you get that done? I got 3 minutes to get this 5-minute list out, and then amen, see you later. And God's saying, hey, I have an you're gone. I'll talk to you later, maybe, but we don't let him. And so we don't hear his voice because we actually aren't asking to hear his voice. But he is speaking. And so when we don't hear his voice, we think he's not speaking, but it's not him, it's us who aren't listening. Cody's Taekwondo teacher says, you need to put your listening ears on. My child doesn't, but we're not four, so we can, you know, work that a little bit better, right? And the third thing that I said, you know, in all this, Jesus is speaking, God is speaking, he has a voice, he is speaking the world today, we have to actually ask questions. Now, we all take it, or most of us take it as, yes, it's a good idea to ask questions of God and the big things, you know, should I buy this house, should I move to this place, should I do this, you know, the big questions, and we go. But we don't ask him in the little things. What do you think about this, Jesus? What do you think about whether or not we should do this or change the carpet or change the paint? Or what do you think about taking this holiday? What do you think about going, you know, should I go over and talk to these people who seem kind of scary across the street? Jeremiah tells us that God has a plan for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good, right? Prosperity, right? All these things. He's got a good plan. And so we ask God the question, God, what do you think? He's going to answer before we get the question out, because he knows what our question is. He knows what the answer is. He's so excited that we're going to ask him what he thinks. He says, yes, go for it. God, what do you? Absolutely. or don't even think about it. He would never do that. But I imagine he has to be firm with me. So, you know, he's more gentle with you, I'm sure. But he is so excited to have that dialogue that I think, would jump the gun a little bit. Yeah, Ryan, you've got a great question. Let me tell you, the answer is yes, go for it. And you might think, well, this is frivolous. And I shared the story of my friend who was trying to decide about a holiday that he had an opportunity to take, but he didn't think that he should because it wasn't the right time financially. And God said, I have this for you as a blessing. You need to take this. So we need to ask. Inquire of Jesus and everything that we do in our lives. And if we were an apprentice worth our salt, every step of the way, how are you doing that? What are you doing? Should I do it this way? What do you think? Because we want to be the best apprentice that we can. And following, listen to Jesus. Today we're going to be talking about, as we look at the statement on the front of our bulletin, it says, at ARBC we exist to embrace people and equip them to be Spirit-led apprentices of Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to focus on that idea of Spirit-led. What does it mean to be Spirit-led? We've been given a specific set of tools. Bet you didn't know that. We've all got tools. Did you know that? We've been given tools. That's the Spirit-led part of things. We've been given tools in order to do the things that God wants us to do. As apprentices, you know, we watch what happens, and then we get the tools of the trade. Right? And you get to enjoy those, and you pull out that massive pipe wrench that you've never seen before, and you go, great, I know what this is, and now I have one. And I can apply it to come off my wall. Or I mean the pipes that should be. Anybody want me to come do pipes at their house? No? Didn't think so. Using the wrong tool. But Jesus has given us the right tools, the right equipment to do his work, to be his apprentice. We call those things spiritual gifts. We're likely fairly familiar with that, right? We've heard this in church before, spiritual gifts. It's a fairly common thing. Probably you've all heard a lot of sermons on spiritual gifts. What they are, how to use them, all those sorts of things like that. So we're going to give you another one because that's important to hear it again. And the question that we're going to look at here is not in knowing they exist. We can take that. Yes, spiritual gifts exist. God gives us stuff to do, people to abilities, whatever it is to do His work in mystery. But to understand what the challenge is not knowing, but to identify them and understand them as they apply to us. Some of you be able to list your, who can list your spiritual gifts? We have one almost brave hand. Okay? Who has never ever thought of their spiritual gifts before? Who would like to know what they are without a doubt? Absolutely. Who thinks God hasn't given you anything? We're going to get to some of that. So we're going to look at the Spirit-led idea of things. The Spirit leads us by giving us these gifts. First thing we want to do is take a look at what are spiritual gifts. I am not going to explain every gift. I'm not going to go into detail on the three key passages that talk about spiritual gifts. What is an apostle? What is a preacher? I'm not going to go into any of that. That's not the point. Today, what I want to do is just a basic understanding, a little bit of what spiritual gifts are and what that means to us as a whole. We're going to work with broad strokes. A couple of definitions that I want to, you know, that I think fit well for this. Kenneth Kinghorn, who has written a spiritual gifts inventory. Are you familiar with what spiritual gifts inventories are? Is that a phrase that makes sense? A spiritual gift inventory is a book or a series of questions that are designed to help you to identify what gifts you may have. And if you're like me, you fail this every single time because you keep looking for the right answer when there actually isn't one. And I struggle with this because I'm looking for the right answer instead of giving the right answer for me. It's weird. But Kenneth Kinghorn has written one of these, and he provides this definition of spiritual gifts. He says, a spiritual gift is a divine supernatural ability given by God to enable a Christian to serve and to minister. More simply put, a spiritual gift is a special tool for ministry. Do I need to read that again? Spiritual gift is a special tool for ministry. Christian Schwartz has written another spiritual gifts inventory, provides this definition, very similar. He says, a spiritual gift is a special ability that God gives according to his grace to each member of the body of Christ to be used for the development of the church. Have you thought of that before in spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are given to each member of the body of Christ to be used for the development of the church. Now, there are three main sections of Scripture that outline spiritual gifts. We've got that passage in Romans that I read. We've got the passage in Ephesians and surrounding that a little bit that I read. And then we've got 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts. Those are the main three. Peter has a little bit that he talks about, and a couple of gifts are mentioned here and there in passing, a couple other passages. But those are the main three sections. Read them for yourselves. There's gifts of service, hospitality, all sorts of things. Read them for yourself. You discover what the gifts are. And they give examples. And as I read through those, and I read through different commentators, and I think about this, how it goes, this isn't a definitive list of spiritual gifts. This isn't the bookends. There are no spiritual gifts outside of these things that are listed in Scripture. I think that what God is intending there, that is, he has given such a wide variety and given a large list. There's a lot of things in there to point out that he is not limited by just a few things, but that there could be a multitude of gifts, talents, abilities, however you want to phrase that, given to you by God for his glory and to minister to the body. I have the spiritual gift of sarcasm. Maybe that's not a spiritual gift. But music is a spiritual gift. And the ability to write is one spiritual gift. The ability to sing, play, hear, embrace into music is a different spiritual gift. Have you thought about that before? Have you thought about some of the things that you do really well, that you enjoy so well, as being a spiritual gift, as opposed to just, I'm really good at it, a natural inclination? Think about that a little bit. But the gifts, whatever list you're using, however you're thinking about it, the key point that we need to remember for spiritual gifts and understanding what they are is that they are given and intended in the context of ministry. They're given and intended in the context of growing the church. They're given and intended in the context of spreading the gospel. Right? Now, you might say, but Ryan, how is it that God gave us gifts just for the church? Just for growing the church? Well, that seems kind of self-centered, doesn't it? Well, let me ask you, how does the church grow if we are not out serving and using the gifts that God gives us in the community, to the people who need to hear? How does the church grow? So we can use our gifts in that fashion, in that point. If the mission of the church is to point people towards God, then anything we do in our daily lives that involves using gifts God gave us is developing the church. It's pointing people to God. Some of us are gifted in the areas of outreach, evangelism, service, hospitality, caring for one another. Some of us are more gifted to help out once people have walked through the door. It's just the way we are. And that's a good thing. And Paul talks about being part of a big body. And if we were all ears, we'd be really good listeners. Horrible communicators. If we were all feet, we would be going places, but we would stink. Because there is no hand to keep us clean. Right? I poke fun, but you know where I'm heading with this. If one piece of the body, one part of the body stops functioning, then the whole body doesn't operate at peak performance. Your appendix, has no purpose in your body except to explode and cause you serious pain. When your appendix is happy, you're happy. When your appendix is not doing whatever it is it's supposed to be doing, you're not happy, right? So I know the medical people are going to correct me. I exaggerate a little bit here. Your kidneys, we'll use that. Because I'm cognizant of that with Dad being in the hospital. Dad's kidneys stopped working, and it messed him up. Now he has a new kidney, and it's not working great. And he's not operating at peak performance, right? So when we are part of the body, not using our gifts and not being a part of that or not functioning properly, the whole body suffers to a degree. So we need to, first off then, look at identifying your gifts. So we've got spiritual gifts. Now we want to talk about identifying. There are several different ways that you can identify your spiritual gifts. Now some people, and I have heard this, some people have said, hey, you know, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Ryan, I don't have anything special about me. God didn't give me any spiritual gifts. Yeah, you get to do this and you get, you know, whatever sort of thing. Every single person has a spiritual gift or more. Every single believer is given a gift by God to build up the body of Christ, to develop the church. So, if you're sitting there thinking, I don't have a gift, you do? Now we're going to figure out what that is. Or we're going to figure out how to identify that, right? Now there's a few different ways that you can do that. One easy way is, or not easy, but one way is to use a spiritual gifts inventory that I talked about, that questionnaire sort of thing. I have a few in my office that I can show you. If you want to, you know, give those a go, we can talk about that a little later. Right? You can use those sorts of things, but there are seven things. I know it's bad form to talk about that many points in a sermon, but there are seven things that we can do to help you understand and identify the functioning of your spiritual gifts. First thing that we can do is pray. Pray, 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 pray. Ask God what your spiritual gifts are. If you're not sure whether you've got to use it, say, Jesus, show this to me. Am I functioning in the body right? Am I doing it? Pray about it. Pray about it. He will give you an answer. He will show you. The second thing, I'm going to go through these kind of quickly, but, you know, the second thing is to be ready to use your gifts. So here's how this works. Jesus, I need a spiritual gift, and I'm ready to use it. As soon as you identify it to me, I'm out the door, ready to go. That's important. If you aren't sure whether or not something that you want to do that you think, I think I've got the spiritual gift of, you know, this, and you're not 100% sure, do it. Try it out. If it doesn't work, you don't got it. No worries. If it does work, it's fantastic. Be blessed. You're going to be a blessing to others. You know, spend some time learning about spiritual gifts. Read books. Talk about it in your GLC group. Complete spiritual gifts inventories. Do these things. Learn. Read scripture. Do all these things. Learn about them and get an idea. Talk to people who have the same spiritual gifting that you think you do. What does it look like? How do they use it? Those sorts of things. Engage in that way. This is my favorite part of it. Begin with what you enjoy. Do you really like having people at your house? And giving them tea and cookies and all that sort of stuff and having people. Do you really like that? If so, Roberta's shaking her head. I'm saying, I've been to Roberta's house. Her hospitality is awesome. You know, if that's the case, chances are God's given you that as a spiritual gift. If you really like doing something, you get enjoyment out of it, it's probably a spiritual gift for you. Start there. Experiment as much as possible. Not sure if you have a gift to minister to children? Go hang out at Argyle City and Godly Play and put it to the test. If the kids live, you may have the spiritual gift of working with children. If not, there's other areas. Check on your results. If you feel you've been given if you've been gifted in a certain area, then you should see the evidence of spiritual fruit from using that gift. Take an inventory. Take a look. Are lives being changed because of that? And as I said before, make use of spiritual gifts inventory of some sort to get you going and get you thinking about things. The final thing that I want to talk about, this idea, this area of using the tools of the trade, spiritual gifts, how that works, is putting it all into practice. You've got the tools. You've identified what your spiritual gift is. Now you need to put that into practice. There is no sitting on the bench. There is no waiting. This is go time. An important part, a very important part of using of spiritual gifts is training them. Training them and training them and training them. Use them, use them. Get better at them. Yes, God will give you the gift of the gab, and you will not have to go and kiss the Blarney Stone. But you need to add it, right? Whatever that is. There's lots of different ways that you can train your gifts. You can get advice from others. You can attend seminars. You can build up experience. The point is, you have it, use it. Now, before I get into the next section, I'm going to say something that likely will offend somebody. Is a general blanket. I'm just assuming I'm going to be offensive for the moment. Please forgive me. My intention is not to offend. My intention is to motivate. Got that? So please forgive. No offense is intended, but you might get offended. In our church, and I love this church, and I love you, and I've been a part of this church for a long time, I have heard people say to me and to others, I would help if someone asks. If that is you, please stop saying that. That isn't using your spiritual gift. One of the inventory guys, I think it was Schwartz, tells a story. He says, talking to lady about the spiritual gifts. Oh yes, I've got the spiritual gift of such and such. Great. Are you using? Oh no. I can't use that. I'm not going, but I have it as a spiritual gift. Healing, I think it was. And they said, you know, well, you should be a part of our healing ministry. I'm not the right guy for your healing ministry. But you've got this spiritual gift of healing. Right? If you have a gift, and I've already said we all have a gift, it is your job to use them. It is not someone else's job to try and figure out what that might be and to ask you to be a part of something. Risk it. Take a chance. Walk up to someone and say, I want to be a part of, I'm not saying you have to lead, but I want to be a part of something because I think I've got the gift and I've been waiting for somebody to ask me to do it. And nobody has asked me to do it. And rather than be offended because nobody's asking me to be involved in an area that I really want to be involved in, I'm coming out and saying, I want to be involved. Can you use me? That's how it needs to work. Inside your bulletin, there's this page that I referred to as Opportunities at ARBC. And on this page, we've provided this for you, and it's not quite complete, and it's not quite perfect, and it's not shiny and polished, but it gives you an idea of the different things in ministry, opportunities, things that are happening just inside our church that you can be involved in, where you can use your gifts to serve, to encourage one another. I want to take a look at these here. We've got our GLC, our Grow, Learn, Connect groups, right? To be a part of it, or to facilitate it, or to host it. If you've got a space that would be great for people to gather and connect together, let me know. Me, not through 10 different people. Right? If you've got a heart for something to teach, let me know. We'll get you going on that. Absolutely. Friday night specifically, Friday night, Mandarin, we've got a Bible study that meets here in church in Mandarin. And that study has the kids come. And they need help with the kids. You're waiting for an invitation? Here's the invitation. They need help with the kids Friday night. Desperately. Talk to Chun Ren. On this page, you'll see there's a ministry list, and in brackets, there's somebody to talk to about that. Our international ministry. We heard last Saturday we had 90 some odd people in the basement. Two Saturdays ago. I don't know where I am anymore. Here we had 90 some odd people in the basement of the church down here. Kids running all over the place. It was a glorious mess. It was wonderful. We need people to be involved in helping with that, to be a part of connecting and part of encouraging. Helping with the kids. Huge. Huge, right, Helen? We need help with the kids. There's more than 20, you said? Yeah, in one room, I think. It was awesome. Awesome. We get there. Conversational English. You don't have to be a teacher to help teach. Our worship ministry. We have people who are helping out with leading and singing. We have people that are helping out in the back with sound. We have scripture reading, and I'm really bad at asking people to read scripture. And I apologize for that. If you want to read scripture, tell me and we'll get this going. Help me out with this. Serving a communion. Chen Ren is looking out for communion. Are you kind of getting, I'm really belaboring the point here. The point is, there are a lot of things that happen, that can be happening ministry-wise in this church, where you can use your gifts, where you can discover your gifts, put them into practice. And it will not happen if you're waiting for somebody to ask you, because I don't know all of your gifts. Jesus knows them. You know them. Let's go with that. And maybe you're looking at this list and you're thinking, I got a gift for something. I don't know what it is, and I don't really see it on this list. Great. Come talk to me. Come talk to me. We'll figure out how to get that going. Figure out how to get that going. But Jesus does not want us to sit and hope that something will come along where we can use the gift that he's given to us. We grow when we use those gifts. The last thing that we need to do, in conclusion, I want to bring up here, out of all of this, we use our gifts. We also need to encourage those around us in the use of their gifts. Makes a huge difference. A huge difference. And somebody comes up and says, I noticed that you are really good at this. I want to thank you for that, because it blessed me. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Encouragement goes such a long, long way. You will receive joy. You will receive blessing. And others will receive as much joy and as much blessing from your use of gifts as you do. Let's use the tools that we have been given as apprentices of Jesus Christ for his glory and to build his body. Let's pray together.